All right, we'll call to order the Stevensville Town Council meeting for Thursday, October 10th, 2018. Ms. Hoffman, would you please call the roll?
Mayor Dooley?
Here.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Here.
Councilmember Gibson?
Here.
Councilmember Vick?
Here.
And Councilmember Short?
Here.
Great, thank you. If you'd please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. There aren't any minutes for the council to approve tonight due to staff absences and the length of the previous meetings. Those will be ready for the next town council meeting. Next up is approval of biweekly claims. Mr. Underwood.
Yes, we got 21 claims for $19,584.72 on two different claim sheets. Okay. One of the claim sheets in the back is for a infamous fireworks that we talked about before. It's on for $4,501.50. And the other 21 for a total of $15,083.21.
So these are together?
They're together for this approval, this council meeting.
I just had a question about 15514.
514.
Page 2.
Okay.
What is it? Economic Development Fund grant, and it's got $1,725, and it's got training. $3,225.
That is for the market analysis project, which was funded through a grant through the Department of Commerce.
Okay, so what's the training part? Is that
the the contractor who we contracted with to conduct the market analysis is conducting training with staff on using the GIS software.
Okay.
Are there any questions from council for Robert on the claims, or is there a motion to approve the claims as they're presented? Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we approve the claims except for claim 15253 for the fireworks.
Is there a second?
Second, I guess.
All right, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Mr. Gibson to approve the claims with the exception of 15253 for fireworks. Council discussion.
What is the reasoning behind
it? It was never approved. It was done illegally. He cannot pay claims without having the council's approval first. And it was paid without council's approval. And then a check was made, and once previous council member Michelson realized that they were not approved, he put a stop payment on the check, and the mayor went behind the council's back and paid for these anyway.
Thank you for that explanation.
You're welcome.
I guess my question is for this. This has been confusing to me ever since I've been here. So I go back to Robert, because I saw first, I kind of understood that, you know, I didn't see the canceled check till later, which was dated June 26th, which would have been in the last fiscal year. And then I couldn't find any, you know, I thought you said it was paid after July 5th or something, but why didn't we ever see anything about that till now? Because we've had claims every 2 weeks that I've been here, and it was July 5th. Is there a date on this? No.
Okay, so when I first did this, it was, the claim obviously says June 27th, this one right here, which I was not here for.
Well, that check was canceled.
Yeah, that canceled, but the claim's still there, so.
So when was it paid? With a credit card?
It was paid in July this year.
And by how?
It was paid by a cashier's...
ACH.
Automatic transfer. There we go.
Okay.
We had incurred the claim, meaning we had the responsibility to pay the bill. Robin, I'm going to tell you, when we write the check to the post office to mail the water bills, it doesn't come before council first. I realize there are different dollar amounts, but there are out-of-cycle claims that happen on a routine basis.
Only when the council approves out-of-cycle claims that has to be approved by council.
Correct. And in this case, the meeting where the claim would have been approved prior to the check being written was canceled.
Well, then you could call a special meeting.
It wasn't time. I didn't have 48 hours notice. I don't think that the semantics of what happened back around the 4th of July are irrelevant at this point. And we've had the same discussion around the snow removal claims. And legal counsel has said if you incur the expense, you pay it. If the claim is true, and the law requires if the claim is true and accurate, you pay the bill. And this claim is true and it's accurate. Whether you believe that it was wrongly paid originally or not has no bearing on as to whether you approve it tonight. You are obligated as a council to approve this claim.
It's already been paid.
So there's no reason not to approve it.
I guess I just have two more questions. Again, when we do these claims, and I'm looking at most of them today, they're mostly for October, September, etc. So why is this thing that was paid in July on here today? And my second question is, and I assume that if this is approved, that this is not going to be in the budget for this year. Just because now we're paying this claim in the 2020 budget. That's my concern. Mm-hmm. Because we have had this discussion many times.
I talked to you about this, and once again, what fiscal year did this happen in, and what fiscal year did we pay it?
My question is, though, that this is not going to be done again in fiscal year 2020 because it's showing the 2020 budget.
No, that's not going to happen. I've talked to anybody who wants it. The best way to do the fireworks is by donation outside of this organization.
I understand that. That's how most people do it.
As long as people understand that the fireworks next year, which I talked with the mayor, I think is a great thing for this town. But I think we need to get a group together who wants to collect donations.
But historically, hasn't it been by donations till this year?
Correct, but we've been the fiscal agent to facilitate the payment. Whereas what Mr. Underwood is indicating is that we find another organization.
No, my question
such
is
as
that you didn't get the donation.
This year we did not receive the donations for the expense.
And why is that? Because of historically you have.
Historically we have.
So why?
This year the donors did not come through for us.
Were the donors contacted?
Yes. Yeah, the motion on the floor is to approve the claims with the exception of 15253 with fireworks. Any further council discussion?
By not approving this claim, where does it go? Does it just continuously come back up? And at what point can we find a resolution? How do we find a resolution to moving this away from council, making it past business?
Well, it would appear the resolution is that if you do approve it, I assume it's going to go away in that sense, but I just want to make it clear that it doesn't happen again, that the town pays for the fireworks for this year. This coming July 4th, it should be by donations, that has been the case before, and it should be done prior to July 1st in this fiscal budget. Because if there wouldn't have been the controversy and I wasn't here, that check was written on June 26th, and that would have been in last year's budget, which is appropriate, if it would have been approved. But it wasn't. So now it's showing up, and really what concerns me is it's showing up on October 10th. And that's not how we do bi-weekly claims since I've been here. Like I said, if you just look through here, and I understand what you're saying, but if you just look through here, this is October and September. Why wasn't this in July or August or even September?
I understand what you're saying.
It brings up red flags. Unfortunately, it does. And hopefully in the future, there's a little better communication.
Can public weigh in?
When public comment is called for, sir.
Nobody can weigh in on claims.
When public comment on the claims is called in for, you can speak. Is there any further council discussion? Does legal or finance want to speak to the ramifications for not approving the claim?
If you're looking for research on remedy about council not approving, what Mayor Dooley has said is correct. It is an obligation, it's a real obligation for the town, and it sounds like it's been paid. However, if you want remedy on not approving the claim, I can do that for you. And there has been a request.
So, Scott, you have a remedy?
I'll do research and I'll get you the answer.
Okay. Thank you. And again, the question has been answered by previous council that when a claim is incurred, the council pays it. Any further discussion from council before I call for public comment? All right. The motion on the floor is to approve the claims with the exception of 15253, excluding the fireworks. Is there any public comment on approval of the claims? Mr. Michelson, you step to the podium, state your name and address for the record.
I am Bob Michelson, 223 Turner Street. Boy, did that come at an opportune time. It started out here this summer. The reason why fellow Barker and I are sitting there along with Mr. Cruz is one of the main reasons was these fireworks. And at the time we had no treasurer. And Mayor Dooley, being the mayor and the treasurer, and I, were being the council president, were the two ones that were signing the checks at the time. I came in, I signed a check, which is right here. This is for the fireworks. And that day, because there was a big stack of them, of course. And then I went out to Super One and see Stacy, and I asked her if we had approved firework claims from last year. She said, no, you need to go back and you need to cancel that check. I went home, I did a little research, and I went to the bank that night, next morning. I canceled this check, this is a copy of it. And then a couple days later, I got a call from Mayor Dooley, who was pretty upset about it, and said that what I had done was highly illegal, and all this other stuff by canceling this check, and of course I disputed it, and we went back and forth. And I went back and did some real research, and got a copy of here in last year's budget. The final one. This one has the fireworks on it. And I also have a copy to back that up of the audio of the last year's all budget meetings. And during those budget meetings, we had quite a heated discussion on meeting number 5 when the fireworks issue came up. And fellow Mark, Mr. Smith, Mr. Barker were on the council at that time, and they were vehemently said no. So we let it lie. And when it got down to the before the public hearing when we were finalizing the budget, Mayor Dooley tried to snake the fireworks through again, and there was quite a heated discussion between Mr. Dooley, Mr. Smith, and Mrs. Barker. I mean, it was really heated. And we said no, and of course, it's right here. And Mr. Dooley come back to say that he had raised $2,500 from Fort Holmes, $1,500 from Farmer State Bank, $200 from private contractors, and more coming. Well, he tried to tell us this year that this was from that. Mrs. Barker said that was from last year because I listened to the audio. And then I went out and talked to Mylock out at Fort Owen, and she said that Mayor Dooley had in fact called her this year and asked her if she would do donations after the fact, after he had already paid the automatic transfer without council consent. And I also got statements from the Farmer State Bank that Mayor Dooley had called there a couple times asking for donations for fireworks this year, even though he had paid this. And Mr. Dewey, I have to call you on this one. You said it has to be claims in a timely fashion. According to Montana Municipal Code 76-4301, presentation of claims against municipality, all accounts and demands against the city or town must be presented to the council in an itemized format. These claims must be presented with all necessary and proper vouchers within 1 year from the date the claims accrued. Any action may not be maintained against the city or town for any account or any demand or claim against the city or town unless a demand or a claim has first been presented to the council. Never came before council, but you did. You got the proof here. Was ever budgeted for? I got the check. We have the audio. There's really nothing more to say in my eyes other than I think you're liable for this, Mr. Dewey. Also, transfer of funds. Section 364 of Montana Municipal Code says more money must be transferred from one municipal fund to another except by ordinance or resolution of the council. The reason I'm bringing this up is because tonight I brought the Gene Thomas Fund up.
Okay, Mr. Michelson, I'm going to stop you. Does it have anything to do with the claims that are being presented tonight that are up for approval?
I'm not done. I'm still on the fireworks, sir.
Okay.
I'll read a letter that I sent to our city attorney. Scott, I'm writing to inquire about Mayor Dewey paying for fireworks without authority. I don't care what Mayor Dewey told you, but he illegally paid for fireworks without council consent. On or about 6/27/19, Mayor Dewey tried to pay for fireworks that were not budgeted by the town council or approved. He tried to sneak it through with a check. I co-signed it and canceled it the next morning after doing some research and finding it was not budgeted and not approved through the council. The mayor lied to the press and the public about already having the donation from local businesses to private donors, KPACs, and he did in fact not. He has tried to collect donations to this day to cover the cost. Dewey paid this with a direct transfer deposit of the town's taxpayer money and admitted at the July 11th town council meeting that he had did this. This is a misappropriation of funds. I have the cancel check, the invoice. Scott, this is serious stuff. This is one of the reasons three of us council members resigned. Also, we rescinded Mayor Dewey's reorganization plan. I won't get into that, but that's a different thing. So, in concluding, I don't believe that the council is liable for this, right? Especially the taxpayer money. And if you guys approve this fireworks tonight, then I would say you guys are liable because the proof is all here. Got the law back. You guys didn't, Mayor Dewey didn't come before the council before he approved the claims. He shoved the claims through, paid the check without, and tried to say we had to do it in a timely fashion. You heard him to Robin. Or in fact, you got up to a year to pay those claims. Thank you.
I guess I have a question again for Attorney Scott. You said you have a remedy. What is the remedy?
So, and that's something we're addressing. He did send that email. And we're working on it. I think these same complaints have been sent up to the county attorney's office. I haven't gotten I think he issued a letter to the council about this and what his investigation
is. So what is your recommendation at this time?
So like I just said, I'll look into it and I'll let you know.
So we could go with this motion now pending the outcome of what you find. The motion now is to approve all the claims except for this one.
Right.
So yeah. we could move forward with that and we wait for your...
We'll bring the fireworks back on the next meeting or when legal has a response.
That's fine.
Well, I think that would be appropriate now because you have stated that you're looking into this and you're our attorney and I'm not an attorney. I think it's unfortunate the way some things have happened here, including what we'll get to agenda number 10. But I'm willing to wait for the town's attorney decision and move forward with this right now, claims minus this one. But that doesn't mean it's a dead deal. I mean, are you okay with that, counsel?
I'm not okay with paying this at all.
Well, but we're not paying it now.
I mean, at all.
Well,
because
I understand.
Because I have that municipal code that you just read.
I understand that. I understand exactly what you're saying. I understand your frustration. Because I've experienced the same frustration in 2 months more than I've experienced in 42 years as a public servant. However, I do think we owe the chance to our attorney to investigate this, come back, and make that decision. Because I have a little concern about whoever sold the fireworks, you know. I mean, they've been paid. And that's another issue.
And also understand, Mr. Gibson, this also occurred while I was not city attorney.
I understand that.
So I'm catching up on a lot of
this. All happened when I wasn't here.
Okay. And so it's just going to be a little time to figure out.
So again, Robin, I mean, I guess I'm just asking to wait to hear back from the attorney.
Yep, that's fair.
And I still might not, I don't know what I'm going to do. Okay?
I have a motion to fix this, so.
Okay.
Is there any further public comment? Yes, ma'am. Step to the podium and state your name and address.
And my address?
Yes, please.
Sherry Beach. I live at 1051 Wood Avenue. I think I just want to speak to the concern that I have as a citizen of this town and a homeowner and a taxpayer. I have significant concerns with the process that should be followed not being followed. That the council that we have in place not being consulted, not having given approval, not just for this, but this, you know, could potentially set some type of precedence for you to make decisions without the council's approval, where you shouldn't be making those decisions on your own. So I have significant concerns about that. You know, I as a citizen and you as a mayor, we all have accountability, and that doesn't change just because of the position that you're in. So I would like to see some reassurance that this is not going to be a reoccurrence, you know, that we're not going to see these types of behaviors happening in the position that you're in, you know, without it going through the council like it should. My concern also is, how did we even incur the cost of this or become liable for this cost, this fee that was for the fireworks, if it hadn't even gone through and been included in the budget or been approved for something that was agreed that would be incurred as a cost to the town? How did that happen?
Okay.
That's a question.
And under public comment, given the time we have tonight, I'm not going to divulge into it.
And I guess if this does go further, would it be appropriate to have a hearing for the town to come and to all chime in on this specific topic?
Absolutely. In fact, I expect that since it's not being approved tonight, that it will be its own agenda item at a subsequent meeting.
Excellent. Good to hear. Thank you.
Further public comment on approval of the claims. Mr. Smith.
Raymond Smith, 326 Valley View, Stevensville. In regards to the fireworks, fireworks issue has been bounced around back all the way when I was the chairman of the Park and Recreation Board. The first year, were graciously, supposedly donated money for that fireworks display, which was fantastic. Mr. Motley and his crew did incredible. I mean, we had people that came to town and said that this rivaled Hamilton's and Missoula's. But we had received donations for it. We had donation boxes out during that time period that they were stolen somehow. So again, that next year coming up, we all agreed that it was going to be taken care of by donations again. We were all in agreement that this is great for the community. And we were told that we have the donations already. Then lo and behold, we didn't. The expenditure itself, I'll be fundraising tomorrow to help the town recoup it, but at this point, it realistically has already been paid. The illegal act has happened. We have, if his paperwork is correct with the statement of the law, we have 1 year to take care of it. We still could be fundraising to this point to solve this issue. We need to be a lot more proactive with the 4th of July coming up because it's a great day. We have the civic club that puts on the picnic. We have the skate park that puts on the skate event. And then hopefully we will have this wonderful 4th of July event again paid for by donations. Okay? But we get to, we as a community have already expended $4,000 that was not in the budget. Okay? Now, as the other council members are saying, it's, if we were to pay, it's going to come out of this year's budget, which reduces us from a budget we haven't even passed yet. So we're spending money we don't have, in essence. But again, Mr. Motley, the town, this is a great thing for the community. I have fought for this from the time I was on the Park and Recreation Board, that why we as Stevensville didn't have a 4th of July celebration. Let's figure this out.
Okay. Any further comment on approval of the claims? Ms. Holcomb.
I strongly suggest that the council, we need to start thinking about putting a freeze on spending until we can get this budget passed, because we're just spending this budget like no tomorrow. I don't even know what we have left. So I really suggest that the council think about freezing any kind of spending until we get the budget passed.
Okay. Motion on the floor is to approve all claims with the exception of fireworks claim being 15253. I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Gibson.
Aye.
Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
Councilmember Sheward.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes.
Now I want to make a motion, please, because it's dealing with this. I want to move that since the mayor had no approval of funding of the fireworks, he needs to repay the town out of his pocket.
Is there a second?
Well, I'll do a second for discussion. I guess I'm back to what we just talked about. I would like to see what we get back from our attorney. I mean, I understand your frustration. I would like to see what the attorney comes up with in regards to these statutes. That's my only thing. And as far as, you know, I have the same concern you do. I guess, I mean, obviously some of these things have to be paid. They have to be paid. But there are some things that pop up once in a while that gives me a little light backwards. And I think the point was well taken. I mean, hopefully we're going to get someplace on this budget pretty soon. I still haven't gotten the information that I've requested for 2 months. I pretty much know in my mind, I think going through this budget right now, we're spending more than we've got. And this is going to be another expenditure. $4,000 whatever dollars, you know, whether we approve it or not, but the big item is the budget. And I think we're spending beyond our means here, and we're not going to have a balanced budget. So I think that's when it becomes really important, is the final budget discussion, if there is one, because I'm getting a little frustrated. I asked for information for today regarding the sewer fees a week ago. I haven't got it. Don't shake your head, Robert. I came down here and I asked you specifically. Don't shake your head. Let me finish.
Let's hold on here. We have a motion on the floor which states that the mayor be basically repaid the town for the fireworks claim, correct?
Correct.
That's been moved by Ms. Holcomb, seconded by Mr. Gibson. While I argue whether this is the appropriate place to make such a motion, I don't care. I can't wait for the 4th of July. With that, let's keep the discussion on that item so we can move on to the rest of the agenda. Further council discussion on the item or on the motion.
I have to agree with Mr. Gibson on let's wait on what the attorney comes back and says. I'm not saying that I don't agree with Ms. Holcomb. I'm just saying that let's wait and see what our legal counsel that we pay for comes back in and says it's the best route to go.
Okay. Any further council discussion? Public comment? Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Short?
No.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
No.
Councilmember Gibson?
No.
Okay, motion fails.
I want to make a motion that we table claim 15253 until November, I believe our next meeting after the budget meeting is November 14th, is that correct?
Our next meeting is October 24th.
Right, I mean, the one after that is...
But I think this is part of the budget, so I would disagree with
let's,
that.
Let's table it till later.
October 24th.
October 24th, January 1st, whatever comes first.
So your motion is to table claim 15253 to the October 24th Town Council meeting?
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Vick and seconded by Mr. Gibson to table claim 15, the approval of 15253 to the October 24th Town Council meeting. Council discussion. Public comment, Mr. Smith.
Raymond Smith, 326 Valley View. Why are we even having this motion when you just said that you were going to wait until the town's attorney that we pay money for gives us a decision? What if his decision is not October that day? Again, we're creating a motion when we don't have to. Let's just allow the town's attorney to get his information, come back to council when he has that information, and if it takes him 6 months, then maybe council will say, well, maybe, you know, he may need a little help or something. Give the man an opportunity to do his job that you are paying him to do. But it's ridiculous to, in one breath, say, let's listen to the man, and then another breath, make a motion to give a date for the man to come up with that information.
Well, let's ask the man.
Hang on. One person speak at a time. Mr. Owens.
That's who I'm asking.
Is this a fair deadline to set for your evaluation of the issue?
The 24th. I should go, please.
Okay. That's going to be my question.
And can I answer that for Mr. Smith? Pretty much, Mr. Smith, it's due to Robert's Rules of Order. It has to do with, because it is a current sitting item on the agenda, so that we can...
Let's not banter back and forth.
Robert's Rules of Order, you would not directly be talking to me.
Correct.
You would be addressing the mayor. So you were just addressing me. Breaks Robert's Rules of Order. So,
okay, your point, everybody's point is taken. Take a breath. If someone needs to speak, let's raise our hand from this point forward, because we're talking over each other and someone's feelings might get hurt. So, the motion on the table is to table the claim to the 24th meeting. Any further public comment? All right, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb?
No.
Councilmember Short?
Aye.
Councilmember Gibson?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Motion passes. We'll revisit this on the 24th. Let's move on to administrative reports. I think we have an airport report for you folks. Building department report is included in your packet. Robert, anything to report for finance?
Just a second. I need a question about the building department.
Okay.
Do I need to raise my hand?
Yes, please.
No. Robert, somebody's talked to me about how up to date are these on here? The building fees.
Those are for the month of September.
So the building Kodiak Jacks down here, someone said that they paid a high dollar amount for building permit. Mm-hmm. Do we know what that is?
We can find out.
I was told it was like $30,000. Is that possible? Could you look into that?
Yeah.
It's Kodiak Jack hasn't reopened yet.
Yeah, that permit came in some time ago, so we'd have to. It's probably either in the last fiscal year or even the last calendar year. Okay. Any further questions on the building department report from council? Robert, anything to report on finance that you want to share with the council? I know you've been out of the office, so there's not. You attended the class today?
Yes. I'm closing the books for 2019.
Great. Fire Department, Chief Motley.
I apologize for not having to put it in a packet. However, we were able to get it compiled with our partners in the district in the time to meet the deadline before anybody took off. But we have numbers for you. In the month of September, we had 81 requests for service. 20 of those calls were in town, 2 were fire calls, and 18 medical calls for September, as our review showed. Month of September, obviously, we did our 9/11 memorial service. And we continue to provide service as requested by the public whenever they call. We are now back into an open burning permit within the town city limits for lawn debris, only materials that are from lawn trimming, branches, those types of things. No building construction, that type of material cannot be burned. It's only until the end of the month that that period of window is open in the town limits. Out in the county, it's open burning until the county commissioners decide to shut it down. So that's what's going on as far as burning. You will notice that there's a bunch of different slash piles that the forest is burning going on in the surrounding areas. So that's what's going on there. That's all the forest that's doing all that. So you'll see that going on. This month is Fire Prevention Month. We will be going to the elementary school and doing our annual program up there for them. We did a pint night last Friday night, and all those proceeds from that pint night went to the Michelle Redke fund or account. It was greatly accepted by the community, and I'd just like to thank Fire Department to thank all the community members for their support for that event. It was a great success. I noticed that in the packet tonight that my request to get the SCBA's, old SCBA's listed as surplus didn't make the agenda for whatever reason. We need to get that accomplished. Other than that, it's pretty much business as usual in the fire department. We did do pump tests this month, which is an annual expense that we always do. So we did do that, and everything that we tested, all 3 apparatus passed with flying colors, no problems there. So all our pumps are up to snuff and working great that way. So that's been pretty much business as usual, normal within the fire department. Any questions?
Any questions for the fire chief?
Yes.
When are we ever going to see the interlocal agreement come back at this table, since it was already passed and approved with the recommendation chain of the changes that the previous council said to change? When is that ever going to be back so we can get this over with?
Be addressed in my executive report.
To answer your question, it was back on the mayor's table to have it reviewed by our new attorney. And since he's just now taken the seat, whenever that review gets back to the mayor, gets back to the council, gets back on the table.
And were the changes that we request in that
those were
agreement?
Those were what was being reviewed by
okay.
our new attorney.
If the attorney blesses the changes that the council made, then it's just going to be executed and done because you approved it, and it'll go to the district. If the attorney has any issues, then we'll bring it back to council.
My regulation, that is how it was approved. It was approved with upon approval of the
correct.
Attorney. So.
And the changes.
Yeah, those changes were approved upon the approval of the attorney.
Okay.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
And there's been a lot going on. This is an issue that has just recently hit my desk too, so we'll get on that.
Okay. All right, Chief Marble.
Okay, so September is a busy month. Calls for service are up 34 from August, which is fairly consistent. Things get busy for a minute, and then it gets cold, and they slow down, and then they get busy again. It just kind of flows that way. Officer Teniente is filling the role of the SRO at the school, and he was gone for a week attending the academy. Since he's a lateral, he had to do 1 week at the academy to go over Montana law, and so he fulfilled that obligation. I filled in essentially doing everything for the week at the school, and it was a very busy week. And I'll talk about that next report. We do have applicants that we're going to be interviewing on the 15th for the SRO position that's vacant. So we're moving forward with that. And Councilman Short is going to sit on that as well. By the recommendation, so I think that's great that we have a council member representing you all in choosing that applicant. So thank you for that. The calls for service, as you can see, September 78 incidents that were created, and those are actual offenses, 26 from those 78 calls for service, traffic violations, domestic disturbances, city ordinance violations, thefts, and dog water. Right now, in particular, I haven't had a lot of time to address city ordinance violations. I know there's numerous violations, but I've got three felony investigations that are taking up a lot of my time, two of which have resulted in an arrest. And those obviously take precedence over anything else because they need the documentation at the county attorney's office in order for them to proceed with prosecution. So once those are wrapped up, then I can start focusing more on, you know, misdemeanor violations of the ordinances that we have. Just to give you a situation report on vehicles right now, hopefully next meeting I will have all the paperwork done to surplus two of our police vehicles and get the, and what I want to do is get those advertised. There's a process we have to go through and we have to look at this aspect of it, but I would like to try and sell them to another law enforcement agency. I think we would get more money from the vehicles that way if we left the equipment in them. So I think it's in our best interest to look at that possibility if we can do that. And we'll harvest from the vehicles, of course, items that we can still use that still have value, radios, so forth. So we're gonna focus on trying to get that on the next agenda to declare those a surplus. We do have an issue with vehicles right now, unfortunately. And it's just, it is what it is. I don't know why it happened this way, but we've systematically been having failures in all of our vehicles. So we don't have a single vehicle right now that doesn't have a problem, unfortunately. Some of them are minor. The SRO vehicle has malfunctioning, the windshield wiper fluid, those nozzles broke. I don't know why, but they have to be replaced and that should be done hopefully tomorrow. Then that vehicle will be back up in service. We've got the truck that I use has another wiring harness issue, which fortunately is under warranty, but it's the second one on the passenger side that we've had to replace. And so hopefully when I take it up there, I'm going to take it out there on the 14th schedule, hopefully we can, I'm just going to sit down with him and say, look, you know, you got to trace what's causing this, because two of them, you know, in a short period of time, that's kind of So I'm still battling vehicle issues. I do recognize the fact that it was approved for one vehicle, and I appreciate that. Of course, we can't move forward until that the budget's passed on making that happen. So any questions on anything I've got there?
Well, I'm in favor of you surplusing whatever you can, get what you can as soon as possible, because also you can get these cars that are not just yours, well, some of them, the white one, some that aren't moving that I understand we pay insurance on, even when we don't use them, which is a total waste of the taxpayer's dollar. And if you've run into problems, maybe you can get that one on Heidi Court from the chapel if you have to.
That's one of them that's getting surplus. Well, it's that one and then the 2011 Charger.
Okay.
That's just kind of nickel and dime us a little bit here.
But I agree with you, get what you can get.
Yeah, and I figure there might be a department, you know, if the price is right, that wants to put the money into repairing, especially that 2011, because they may not have, you know, any newer vehicles at all.
Sure.
Any further questions for the chief? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Questions?
All right. We don't take public comment on the administrative reports, just on agenda items. Public Works Activity Report is included in your packet as well. George is in a training, and so he is not able to attend tonight to present. All right, we don't have any guests or correspondents for you tonight, so we'll open the floor to public comments, the opportunity to comment on anything on tonight's agenda or under the jurisdiction of the town of Stevensville. Please remember to step to the podium, state your name and address for the record, and sign the sign-in sheet. That's extremely helpful for the clerk when she compiles the minutes. All right, public comment. Ms. Barker.
Stacy Barker, 104 Winslet Ave. Good evening, council members and mayor. I have a few concerns that I'd like to address tonight. The first is I'd like to address the budget and how you, mayor, kept telling the council that we are going to incur a late fee for not getting this submitted on time. However, you've been asked many times, or just a couple times, by council members what that fee is, and there's been no answer. What is the fee? As a taxpayer, this should be told to the public. This is not a secret. Just tell us what it is. Water bill decreases and the special audit. The water bill decreases was passed by the council a little over 2 or 3 weeks ago. Why is this being brought back up onto the agenda as a discussion decision? The council voted and passed it. Now your job as the mayor, the clerk, is to write a resolution for this. As a taxpayer, I would like to see my water rates go down as advised by the council. There again, seems to be some kind of holdup. Same thing goes on with the special audit. There should be no further discussion on this item either, or decision. You should have put this in the paper the next day after the council passed and advised that they called for a special audit. It has been well over a month, and this is no advertisement put out for bid, again, was passed by the council. Why are we dragging our feet? Is there something that is being hidden? You as a mayor, clerk, and treasurer, this should have been done right away. This throws up a big red flag, again, to me as a taxpayer. One more item that I would like to read to the mayor, the treasurer, and the clerk is the job description written by ordinance. Section 2-126, duties of town clerk and treasurer. The mayor has the discretion upon the advice of the consent of the council, appointment of a combination treasurer clerk, or appoint a town clerk and a town treasurer. The duties of the officers, regardless of whether the office are combined or separated, shall be as the following: to receive disbursements, to serve as a custodian of all public monies and pay money out on the warrant of the mayor, countersigned by the clerk, drawn in accordance by law. To perform such duties in collection of taxes, license fees, assessments, may be prescribed by law or by ordinance. To present to the council on the date set by the council a full detailed statement of amount of monies belonging to the town, received by him and by him distributed during the preceding months, and state each particular fund, which statement must be verified by his oath. To keep the books and the accounts of all town in such manner as to correctly present to the conditions of the finances thereof, which may also be open to the inspection of the mayor, council, and any member thereof. To keep a separate account of each fund or appropriations and the debits of the credits thereof. To give each person paying to him money as the town clerk a receipt thereof, specifying the date of the payment and the amount of what was paid. To render at any time an account to the council showing the money has been money on hand and the condition of the treasury. To keep a register of all warrants paid, which must be shown the date, the amount, the number, the person to whom, and the fund of which the same was paid. To annually make out and submit to council and its meetings prior to May 1st a detailed account of all receipts, expenditures during the past fiscal year, and the abstracts thereof must be published in some newspaper in the town, or none is published, Such abstract must be posted in a room or the building occupied by the town council. To pay out in the order of which they are registered, all warrants presented for payment when there are funds in the deposit, when there is funds in the treasury to pay the same. To deposit all public monies in his possession under his control, excepting such as may be required for current businesses in any sovereign bank or banks located in town, subject to national supervisions or state exams as the council shall designate, and no other, and the sums so deposited shall bear interest at rate no less than the rate of interest paid on monies for private sources on the same term. To attend all meetings of the council, to record, sign the proceedings, therefore, of all ordinance, bylaws, resolutions, contracts passed, adopted, or entered into, and to sign, number, and to keep all records of all licenses, commissions, or permits granted authorized by the council. To enter in a book all ordinances, resolutions, bylaws passed, and adopted by the council. Such book is called the ordinance book. To enter into the book, keep for the purposes the dates, the amount, the person whose favor, and for what the purpose warrants are drawn upon the town's treasury. To countersign and cause to be published or posted, as provided by law, all ordinances, bylaws, and resolutions passed and adopted by all council. To file, to keep all record books, papers, or properties belonging to the town, and to deliver the same to his successors when qualified. Within 180 days after the close of the fiscal year, to make out in duplicate and complete statements of the financial conditions of the town for the fiscal year showing the information required by MCA 7-6-611, to prepare and process financial statements as required by state law, to perform such other duties as the town council may prescribe, which somehow isn't quite being followed. One last reminder, the clerk and the treasurer, they should not be speaking in the council unless they are called upon by the council or by the mayor. It seems that they talk whenever they feel and they want to follow the Roberts Rules of Order. Transparency? I still think that you need more work on your transparency with your new council. Where is it, and when is it lost in your little world of a fantasy? Thank you, Stacy Barker, Insurance Citizen of Stevensville.
Mr. Michelson.
Bob Michelson, 222 Turner Street. I don't want to keep banging on this subject here, but I need to go back to the fireworks for a second. With all the things we said tonight, this is probably the biggest thing. This is a big thing that they stressed on us at every city, lakes, and town conference went to. And it's Montana Code and Annotated 7-6-4005. It's expenditures limited to appropriations. Local government officials may not make a disbursement or an expenditure or incur an obligation in excess to the total appropriation for any fund. A local government official who violates the subsection 1 is liable for the amount of the excess disbursement, expenditure, or obligation personally. So I did some reading and I made some calls, and it doesn't happen very often because we're supposed to have a check and balance where, as we said earlier, every claim should come before a council before it's paid. That's a check and balance. And so that wouldn't happen. Mayor Dewey would have brought those fireworks claims before it would have been paid to us, then we would never be having this discussion. I think I laid out the evidence earlier tonight where there was not budgeted for it. There was no money. He tried to first say it was a donation from last year's, which wasn't, and of course I got the statement saying that he made phone calls to the Farm Estate Bank and out to Farm and Fort Holmes for this year trying to collect money for the fireworks after the fact. And right here is pretty clear. We didn't have the money to pay for that. And he went ahead and paid it through a direct deposit. According to this, Mayor Dewey, you're not liable for those fireworks. And under the Gene Thomas Fund, when I looked here and I made that point that night about some of the money being taken out, and then I guess I left, and I guess when they came back after a break, it was said that no money was taken out. We just transferred it here and there. Well, Section 2-350 under the MCA code said no money must be transferred from one municipal fund to another, except by ordinance or resolution of the town council. This was never done. A lot of stuff on Norman Muir, the snow removal and other things that came along, it was getting pretty heated. And when April and stuff, and we were always bringing up about budget amendments and resolutions, and Mayor Dewey, you go back and look at the audits, kept saying we didn't need to do that. Well, according to this, you need to do that. You need to be diligent. There's a check and balance everywhere. And if we're not doing that, then things get out of the way, things get in whack, and things get putting us to this situation. And last but not least, Mayor Dewey, you as a governing mayor of this town really need to get a handle on these meetings. The reason they're so long is because it's like a free-for-all. When we were on the council, it was orderly. And I know we've got some newbies here, but to be talking back and forth, back here and everywhere, there need to be motions on the floor, and you need to take point of order right away and get these meetings in order, because it's just a free fall, Brandon. It's just bad. And you need to, it's your duty as a chairman to really break down on the Robert's Rules of Orders to make sure that these motions and the talking back and forth between the clerk and you and council members and the audience, that nobody's raising their hand. Just tonight I was watching it again. It's way out of whack, Brandon. It makes us look very unprofessional. And that's one of the reasons I haven't been coming. I just can't stand the unorderliness up here. And that's why the meetings last until almost 10 o'clock. You need to get a handle on your meetings, Brandon. You need to start running them like we used to. Thank you.
Further public comment. Ms. Mickens?
Just so Carolyn Mickens, 211 Buck. Just so everybody's on the same page, I turned in all of the notarized. I turned in all the notarized petitions. I went to the courthouse and I got printouts from the courthouse that show the property. It shows the deed description of the property. It shows the street addresses. So all of those loopholes are covered. Everything is notarized and they were turned in today. So I'm looking forward to the public hearing date posted in the newspaper so that we can move on. Thank you.
Mr. Smith.
Well, Raymond Smith, 326 Valley View, and I'm not sure if I'll direct this towards you, Mr. Mayor. It's more of a question for the town's attorney. With what has been said as far as the statutes and things, if this is true, is it, and I'm asking the town's attorney, would that be considered a crime? And then on top of that crime, would that crime be the expenditure or the misuse of public funds, if, according to Mr. Michelson, those regulations are in fact valid, would that be a restable offense?
Public comment. All right. Hearing none, we'll move on to with the rest of the agenda. Mr. Gibson.
I just wanted to, one of the issues that was brought up, we'll get to the sewer later. I guess that's an appropriate word. In regards to the fines, I asked that question the April 24th meeting to the mayor, and the mayor saw and he didn't know. Since that time, I've been informed there will be no fines. Is that correct, attorney?
What's the question again?
That there won't be a fine for having the budget late after October 1st.
As I understand, I did contact the department. Do you have something?
Mr. Underwood?
There's not a fine for turning in the budget late, except it will go on our audit again. And if it goes on it twice, then the citizens can sue the town.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate.
But the fine, yeah. The fine is when it comes to the annual financial report.
Right.
I learned today that they used to waive the fine for a couple months to get the report in. They're not doing that yet this year, so if it's not turned in, that's the fine.
And Mr. Gibson?
In regards to that, we probably could have had the budget done and would have been started earlier as per statute, and it would have been done as per statute. I don't think it's the council's fault that we're this late. It should have started the process a long time ago, and we wouldn't have that issue. But I just want to clarify my understanding that there will not be a fine.
Okay, thank you. Unfinished item, business item A, discussion decision performing a special audit from May 2019 through July 2019. In your packet is a draft of an RFP for council's approval. You recall from when this conversation originally started, it was agreed that the staff and I would prepare an RFP for you folks to review so that you could provide your input as to what was and wasn't in the RFP before it was advertised.
Mayor, do we all have that packet? I don't have that packet. Maybe it was on the computer, but I don't have it. Is there a packet?
Monica emailed the council and said, here's the link to the packet, and if you needed it printed, we asked that you let her know. That was the email she
sent.
Usually
we get the packets attached to the ask. That's our goal.
Mr. Mayor, according to Robert's Rules of Order, may I hand this to you so you can hand it to Mr. Gibson so he can
have an extra?
Okay.
Thank you.
In the draft proposal, you notice that we left the time frame of the special audit open. And perhaps, Mr. Underwood, you can provide some insight as to why we didn't strictly adhere to the May through July time frame, but rather you had some thoughts on extending that.
Yes, sir. Extending a little bit because of the transition when April left to what the mayor was doing, and then from when the mayor trained me initially onto the system because we didn't have that overlap. I think we need to expand that a little bit.
We discussed April 1st through?
April 1st through July
30th. So that'd be the administration's recommendation of the audit time frame, and we'll adjust the RFP accordingly. Also, on page 2 of the RFP, you'll see the time frame as to the proposal schedule, where the RFP will be issued tomorrow. We ask that proposals be returned by November 1st, and you make your selection as to who does the special audit on November 14th, which is the next or the following council meeting following the RFP deadline. Mr. Gibson?
How is it published, or how is it advertised, the RFP?
I think in our initial thoughts, Robert, do you want to?
We'll publish it, but we'll go to the local government bureau and we'll give a list of the approved auditors, and we will send out that RFP to as many as we can. I learned today that our audit list is shrinking in the state.
Excuse me? What?
Our audit list is shrinking, and so a lot of the audits are now being performed by outside agencies outside the state of Montana.
So you don't do any publication?
No. We're going to put it. We have to publish it in the paper.
Correct. Sure. Okay. Yeah, that was my question.
And then, but right now, you almost have to go out and find an auditor to come do this.
So to recap, we'll publish it in the paper. We'll get the list from the local government services bureau at the state Department of administration. They have a list of approved auditors that the state has approved. We'll send this RFP to each of those auditors in addition to publishing it in the paper. Mr. Gibson?
I just have a question for Councilperson Holton. I know you sent out, so some time ago a list of what you thought was appropriate. Do you think this is okay, what we have here today?
Ms. Holcomb?
I'm not sure why we need general elements and background information. I'm not sure why we need all that in this, to be honest.
This is a standard format for audit proposals that we receive from the state. The state says, here's a format you can use when you advertise for audits. We just basically fill in the blanks and followed that. To Mr. Gibson's point about the list of items you sent out that you requested in the audit, you'll find those on page 6 under section 4, where we ask that the special audit cover certain areas.
And that's everything that I asked for.
Okay. So,
Gibson?
We already passed this, so do we need to make another motion to pass this?
I'd ask the council to make an motion to approve the RFP itself. Yes.
I'll make the motion.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Gibson and seconded by Mr. Vick to approve the RFP for audit services. Is the time frame of April 1st through July 30th acceptable?
Yes.
Okay. Any further discussion from council? Public comment. All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Short?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Gibson?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. We'll get that out tomorrow. Next item of business is 10A. Discussion decision changes to water and wastewater rates for fiscal year 2019-20. Mr. Vick?
Motion for recess, personal privilege, since we've been here an hour and 10 minutes now, so we can all just stretch our legs and whatnot.
Okay, we'll take a 10-minute recess.
Is that a problem?
Oh, God. What a shame.
You know, if I'm a whole row, they all have to go.
don't know why I'm saying that.
Stevens Old Town Council meeting, October 10th, 2019. We left off at new business. Item A, discussion decision changes to water and wastewater rates in fiscal year 1920. Council has in their packet as part of the communication some discussion around the research we've done on how water rates in general, whether they go up or down, affect the water and sewer bonds that we currently have on our system. And I also sent council an email to that effect explaining the rationale behind this agenda item. It remains the administration's recommendation that the council not take any action on reducing water rates for this fiscal year until a more in-depth rate study can be completed, as we've indicated we would do in the budget, and really see what the effects of that are. Further, there is language in our bond documents that we've determined prohibits us from reducing the rates. We've irrevocably pledged revenue from the system to the bonds, and to reduce that revenue would be prohibitive. Not only that case, but we also need to inform our bond holders as well. Mr. Gibson.
First of all, and I'm going to make a motion, and I consulted with our lawyer, attorney, on this motion. I just want to bring back everybody to the fact on September 18th, we passed unanimously, and it has nothing to do with the bonds. It has nothing to do with the bonds. It was specifically said water and sewer fees. You all get your little bill. I have mine here, and you know it's broken out by the fees and the bonds. And of course I know with my experience that I couldn't do anything with a bond. So let's just be very clear with that once and for all. And we don't have to go through a 191-page document to understand what the motion was. And it was to reduce the fees, water, and sewer by 3% and had nothing to do with the bond. So with that, I'm going to make a motion. And that motion is, as per 69.7.111, and this should have been done, talk about process, it should have been done after the September 18th meeting. which I requested. It should have been talked about on the September 24th meeting, which I requested. After your email came out, I talked to our attorney, and I sent a request on October 3rd to do this, and I didn't hear back. I didn't hear back. So with that, I'm going to make a motion. And hopefully you get this down, because it's going to be a little lengthy. And again, this should have been done through the process. As far as people want to talk about statutes, 73203, 73215, and I can go on. But I'm going to talk about 69.7.111. So my motion is, as per that statute, that we publish this as soon as possible. And it needs to be clear when it's published that this is a 3% decrease from this year. Because obviously it's already too late, which it wouldn't have had to have been, because there's going to go out notices on November 1st, and I've talked to the attorney about this, that says your rates are going up 3%. So if this goes through after public hearings the right way, yeah, you could call it a 6% decrease if you want, but that's not what it is. But it's a 3% decrease. I'm doing this on the advice of our attorney. That needs to be clear. And I'm also recommending that per contact in 69.7-111, that contact person be the attorney that's mailed to, so they can be reviewed and have the public hearings and done appropriately with the council and all the public. Also, before it is published, I think it needs to be reviewed by the attorney, and I will say myself as council president, because we don't need a special meeting, because I want to be able to review it with the attorney, which actually is going to be published. Now, there's been, I don't know what the word is, but it's been disingenuous to make it like we need all this money for all these projects and such. When in fact, Mayor, in your proposed salary raise, which included $45,000 in benefits, you were asking to take 60% out of water and sewer fees. On the August 28th budget presentation, personal services, salaries, and wages, and this is your budget, this is what you proposed. You proposed to take $346,715 out of general fund, which is appropriate and should be more. You proposed to take $126,811 out of water fees, and you proposed to take $125,860 out of water fees. So when I hear these things about, oh, we're not going to have, also has been noted before, we have many new users in Twin Creeks. We have many new users in Creekside. We have a new laundromat. There's a building being built down here. I heard it might even have a swimming pool. Maybe it'll use some water. The building next door here, Locos, is going to open November 1st, which has been closed for 2 years. So, again, and I think during the budget, we're going to have a conversation more about using this amount of money, almost looks to me like 40% from water and sewer fees to pay salaries. I don't have a problem. I would pay 100% of the salaries for George and the people that do water and sewer. But over 40%? No. I have a problem with that. So I hope my motion is clear. I think it is. And again, I want to go back. The proposal in your budget on August 28th between water and sewer fees proposed to take $252,000 and $671 to pay for salaries and benefits.
Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second it.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. That's hard to follow. It's been moved and seconded. If you don't mind, I'll do my best to paraphrase that a notice reducing rates or reducing the rates 3% be published immediately, with the attorney being the contact person, as noted in the Montana code you cited.
And I think it should. I would like to be involved in the review of it. Does the attorney have a problem with that?
The review of the notice?
Yes, before it's published.
Okay. Fair enough. Any discussion from council? Public comment? Mr. Michelson.
Bob Michelson, 222 Turner Street. I would also like to commend the council for approving this rate decrease. I just read in the paper today where Hamilton's increasing their water. Of course, everybody's up water rates. Everybody's up in arms down there. It's no big secret. But we have some of the highest rates in the state of Montana. I know we did some upgrades with our water and sewer, that's no secret. And we have to pay the bills, but like Steve just stated, it is through a bond. And to lower the rates to help the senior citizens in this town and the people on fixed incomes, and to stop the chatter of up and down where this, I think it would make a big plus each and every one of us. It would make all you guys look good to make this go through. Thank you.
Further public comment? Mr. Gibson.
And with that, I did call Hamilton last week. And I don't have the exact numbers, but they're even with the increase, they're still much lower than ours. And of course, their bond was paid off.
Okay. Any further discussion from council or public? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
Councilmember Gibson.
Aye.
Councilmember Sherwood.
Aye.
All right, motion passes unanimously. We'll undertake that process forthwith. Concludes the business portion of the agenda and the executive report. All right. Under the executive report, I have a few items to just update and report on. Executive staff and I, along with Mr. Vick, had an informative and energizing experience at the League of Cities and Towns Conference in Billings last week. Several topics were discussed, which will certainly help all of us who attended in our roles here with the town making a better community. And I know that the new staff, both the town clerk, deputy clerk, and the finance officer, felt that that was a good experience and made some good connections there as well. Next week, I meet with officials from Northwestern Energy regarding LED lighting upgrades here in Stevensville. I hope to be able to provide the council with some sort of timeline on when to expect a project here in this community following that meeting. So I'll update you hopefully at the next council meeting as to what we can expect for LED upgrades. Event permits have been issued for the homecoming activities this week, along with the Jacket Blackout Run, which is a fundraiser, which is to be scheduled on Saturday. Both events have an expected attendance of 1,000 or less. As we discussed briefly earlier, Fire Department Interlocal Agreement is in the City Attorney's Office for his review. He and I spoke briefly this week regarding the agreement, and once his review is complete, depending on what the results of that review are, we'll then convene with the Fire Chief and take the next appropriate steps. Information about our fall curbside debris pickup service, which we do twice a year, spring and fall, will be released on Monday. That's our goal. I know many folks are eager for the details of when pickups will occur, and we appreciate their patience as we do our best to forecast when most of the leaves will be on the ground from the trees. And with George out this week, we'd like to confer with him on what timeline to expect that curbside service. So watch our Facebook page and our website, and of course you can always call Town Hall for that information starting Monday. Finally, on Friday, we said happy retirement to Denise Philly. Denise served as the utility billing clerk from 2008 through last Friday, totaling 11 years of service to the citizens of Stevensville. Denise worked for 7 mayors in her time here, and through each of those administrations, she demonstrated perpetual loyalty to our citizens and the town as an organization. Denise brought a stellar work ethic to Town Hall every day, something that is sometimes difficult to find in today's workforce, but we are fortunate exists in many of the town's employees currently. Denise has been a distinct pleasure to work alongside for the past 7 years that I've worked here, and I have learned many things from her, and I know that the special dose of Italian she brought to the office will be greatly missed. I sincerely thank Denise on behalf of my office and our citizens for her service and wish her the best in retirement, knowing that this time of year she hated Montana's winter roads. This concludes my executive report. Council comments. Mr. Gibick.
Go ahead, Mr.
Gibick. I just had a question about our upcoming meetings. So the regular schedule is second and fourth Thursday, is that correct?
That's correct.
So we're scheduled the 24th of October. And then I assume the 14th, but obviously we're not going to be able to meet on the 28th.
Correct. Before.
So really we only have one, two, and you're going to meet the day after Christmas?
Typically we don't.
So we have three more meetings, correct?
Regularly scheduled, yes.
And so when we do this public hearing for the water and sewer, I assume then those will be separate meetings? Because there's different phases?
Based on the calendar, that's more than likely the case, yes.
Okay.
We'll do our best to consolidate meetings on the same night for the council, but sometimes it's not doable. Council comments. Mr. Vick.
It's another long-winded one. I brought a little copy for the minutes here. As a member of the American Meteorological Society, and more importantly, a member of the town of Stevensville Legislative Branch, I can no longer stand idly by and allow us to exist with the town not having a plan to combat the implications that will occur due to climate change. Simply put, the current council cannot allow days to go by without a climate action plan. In the next 20 years, the state of Montana, Ravalli County, and in turn, the town of Stevensville, will see increased population growth as portions of the United States will no longer be habitable by large populations due to this increase of global temperature, which is expected to reach 1.5 to 2 degrees centigrade within the next decade. I am ashamed to be a member of a generation who wasted the world's resources and carelessly dumped our waste onto future generations. As a council, it is not only our right, but also our duty to begin a process to mitigate the repercussions of climate change and to begin to expect a boom in population growth before it is on our front steps, like it was with the neighboring community of Missoula. I've been approached by students, not only at the University of Montana, but also from our local schools here in Stevensville, asking me how can we prepare for this mass exodus from other places into our community, and I wish I had an answer other than I don't know. How dare we, members of the current city government, not have answers for how we are to be prepared for 10 or 20 years down the road? I ask that this council, before December 31st, 2019, set in place a climate action advisory board made up of a council member, a member of our local population, a member of the Stevensville School Board, a member of the rural district, and a local physician. Thank you.
I just have one more thing.
Sure.
I can't remember. You're on a board, right? Parks?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Airport.
Have you met? And I'm on the planning. What? Are we going to meet at all?
So the airport board has met. Mr. Vick wasn't able to attend that meeting, but the airport board meets on a monthly basis. The park board has met. Planning and Zoning Board, we've been in touch with Mr. Kellogg to get a meeting scheduled for you folks.
Okay.
With staff absences, we haven't been able to follow up on.
Okay.
And
so between now and December 31st.
Oh, yeah. That's the hope. Any further council comment? Ms. Holcomb?
Hearing that Carolyn Mickens has now turned everything in, I hope we can move forward on this since it's already been approved and passed by council. We should just start doing the public hearings and get this taken care of.
It's on the attorney's desk. Any further council comment?
He's got a lot on his desk.
Poor guy. Board reports?
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Sheward, have at.
We had a park board meeting last night. It was awesome. We elected a new president, Krista Wortman. We discussed many items, mainly the condition of the parks, of River Park, Father Valley Park, Creamery Park and Veteran Park. We had a presentation by Armed Forces Memorial and for Veterans Park. It was Paul, can you help me with the last name?
I can't say it, I'm sorry. Okay. He's the Vice Commander of the American Legion.
Great presentation in regards to a memorial that he's creating, and the Park Board gave him permission to go on and further look at costs and designs and bring that back to the Park Board. We also discussed the Gene Thomas Fund for $3,500 to the Creamery Park tables, as well as additional money that's in the operations in the Parks and Recreation budget for any additional master plan projects that we might come up with and prioritize. We also discussed a settlement in the Park Board, Park Advisory Board, through ordinance rather than resolution.
Any other board reports?
I got one.
Oh, do you?
Oh, no.
Yeah, you haven't met. Just kidding. All right. I'd entertain a motion to adjourn then.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Those in favor.
All right.
Thanks.